Matthew chapter 4. Look if you would, really at just one verse. Look if you would at verse 1. It says, in Matthew 4, 1, it says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." Now, I think we, most of us have read that account where he was taken into the wilderness and tempted, and he was led there to be tempted. And we know that when the temptations were over, that Jesus did not sin. Amen? He did not fall to those temptations. The Bible tells us he sinned not. Now, this morning I want to start a series of lessons called How to Say No to Sin. Now, the truth of the matter is, I think everybody in here could honestly say this morning that that we'd all like to be able to say no to sin every time. Amen? I mean, wouldn't it be great? You know, that's one of the things I'm really looking forward to when we get to heaven, that once we get rid of this body, there'll be no more temptations to sin. And I'm looking forward to that, amongst many other things. But that's certainly one of them. And so the title of this first lesson in How to Say No to Sin is, why so much temptation? Have you ever actually thought about how come we're tempted so much, and you know, and why God allows us to be tempted, and how quickly we fall to temptation? You know, even us on our best day, we're all vulnerable to temptations. Amen. And does it seem like we lose more battles than we win when it comes to temptations? You know, why is sin so attractive? And why is temptation so unrelenting? And why is it so powerful? Why doesn't God lessen the strength of the temptation? Why doesn't God work out ahead of time things so that we would not have to go through temptations? These are questions that, believe it or not, a lot of people ask. I've had people actually come up to me and say, if God was real, why does he allow you to be tempted when he knows that you're going to sin when those temptations come? Well, I think, you know, those are questions that we need to think about. And, you know, here's another question that people have asked me before. If your God is real, how come he just doesn't eliminate the devil? Just eliminate the devil, and therefore, you know, the temptations would be gone, or at least less. I mean, that would take care of a lot of temptations. I do want to point out to you one thing. The devil never made you do a single thing in your life. A lot of people say the devil made me do it. The devil doesn't make you do anything. Okay, the devil does tempt you. He certainly tempted Christ there in Matthew chapter 4. But he's not the only one that tempts you. You realize the world tempts you too. Do you realize your flesh tempts you? Well, we were tempted all, it seemed like every day. And so we are tempted. But some people have asked, well, you know, if the devil were eliminated, then we would have never had this problem to begin with, because if the serpent hadn't come into the garden, then there would have never been a temptation, and Adam and Eve would never have fallen. I think we get dangerous in our assumptions there, to think that just because the serpent didn't come, you know, if the serpent were never there, then they would have never sinned. I don't know about that. Here's what we do know. We know what the Bible says. Amen? And anything more than that is just assumptions. But it is true that evil was suggested to Adam and Eve by Satan, and if he hadn't have been there, maybe their decision would have been different. We don't know. But here's what the Bible says in James 1:14. It says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Okay, so our sinful nature responds to things like greed and anger and rebellion and lust and a whole host of other things. We're enticed by that. And so the question is couldn't God just dampen those passions just a little bit, so in order to give us the edge? Why doesn't God just guide us away from the places of temptation? Why did God allow David to walk up on the roof that afternoon and see what he saw? Why did he allow it to happen? Why did God allow Samson to be tempted with the charming attraction of Delilah? You know, every time you read that passage with Samson and Delilah, I might have to have a talk with Samson when we get to heaven one of these days. Because, you know, here is a woman, and this has nothing to do with the message, but it is something to consider. Here's a woman that asked him three times, "Hey, what is it that makes you weaker?" And two of those times when he gave her the wrong answer, people tried to attack him. Now, you'd think after the first or second time when she says, "Well, what is it that makes you, where do you get your strength from?" And he goes, and he makes up some story, and they do it, and they try to capture him. And the whole time, he's just not even thinking of that, what she's up to. You know, common sense comes in somewhere, amen? But certainly, you know, the question is why did God allow him to be tempted by Delilah? Well, this morning, you know, after looking at some of these questions, I want to show you some reasons for temptation. And to tell you the truth, temptation helps us out more than you think it does. And God does know what he's doing. Amen? And so the first reason for temptation is in our lives is that temptation is a test of loyalty. It is a test of loyalty. Turn if you would over to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Now in Genesis chapter 22, we're told of another story that I'm sure all of you are very familiar with. And that is the story of when Abraham was told by God to take his son up on the mountain and offer him as a sacrifice. Genesis chapter 22. In Genesis chapter 22, look if you would at verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Now, I'm not sure that anybody probably faced more temptation than Abraham did at that point. I mean, if you think about it, Abraham would have had all kinds of reasons not to want to kill his son. Amen? Isaac was... I mean, he was his son that he couldn't have. It was the son that the promise was made through. And so no doubt there was a strong temptation to disobey God. And when God said, "I want you to take your son up on that mountain and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice unto me," do you think maybe he was tempted just to say, "No, God, I'm not going to do that"? I think all of us would be tempted to say that. Amen? Yet Abraham chose to follow God in spite of the temptation not to do so. And God just simply gave Abraham an opportunity to demonstrate his love and dependence upon God to show which one he loved the most, Isaac or God, which one he was going to obey, which one was he going to follow. And so if you think about this, folks, in every temptation that we face, in every temptation that you've ever had, in every temptation that you ever will have, you will always either choose to do what God has told you to do or choose what you or the world or the devil has told you to do. It's always choosing between God and what he says to do or what somebody else tells you to do. Choosing the world. Every temptation that you ever face is always putting you between those two choices. And so this morning, if you're being tempted by something, then I'm just going to encourage you to do what God told you to do. If God says it's wrong, then don't do it. Amen? And it doesn't matter what the world says, and it doesn't matter what the devil says, and it doesn't matter what your flesh wants. You have to make that choice. And so every time that you're tempted, it is a test of loyalty, it's a test of how much you love the Lord, it's a test of how much you say, "I'm going to do what God wants me to do rather than what this temptation is tempting me to do." And so we have to make that choice. And if you choose what God wants you to do, then you're going to be right. God told Abraham, "I want you to take your son up here and offer him a burnt sacrifice." And he certainly could have done what his flesh wanted him to do and said, "No, I'm not going to do that. I love my son Isaac too much." But when it comes right down to it, he says, "Okay, God, I'm just going to trust you." And that's what it comes down to if we're ever going to get victory over our temptations, is you just have to trust that what God has said is true and do it his way. Now, that's the way you're going to get past your temptations. You say, "Well, then how come I mess up so many times? How come I fall to temptation so many times?" Because you choose something other than God's way. And so do I. That's what we do. And so God allows us to go through temptations in order to test our loyalty and test our love. A second reason that God allows us to be tempted is because temptation is used by God to test our character. Temptation is used by God to test our character. In other words, temptation is God's magnifying glass that shows us how much work he has left to do in our lives. Amen? Now, you say, "Well, what does that mean?" Well, that means this, that sometimes we start to get too big for our britches sometimes. Amen? And we start to think, boy, I tell you what, I have grown some kind of big time in spirituality. I mean, I have really grown. I am a spiritual, mature Christian. And we start to think too much of ourselves. We start to think of ourselves, the Bible says, more highly than we ought to think. But sometimes God allows temptation to come in life just to kind of bring reality back to you. And to show just how much more work that God has to do in our lives. How many of you understand this morning that God is doing a work in your life? Every day He's doing a work. If you're saved here today, God is doing a work in your life. And you're supposed to be growing as a Christian. You should be becoming more mature as a Christian. Does that mean you're going to stop sinning? No. But it does mean that it means two things. One, you should probably sin less today than what you did before. I mean, you shouldn't fall to every temptation, amen? I mean, you have the Holy Spirit of God within you that's convicting you and telling you when something's wrong and showing you that when you're starting to mess up, you have that. You also have a Bible that you can understand, so you understand what God's Word says. And so we shouldn't fall to every temptation. The more we grow, we should fall less, but that doesn't mean you're going to stop sinning. And you've heard me say 1,000 times, anybody comes up to you and say, well, I don't sin anymore, I'm mature, then they just did. Because the Bible says if you say without sin, then you're a liar. And so you're never going to reach the point of sinlessness on this side of eternity, but you should sin less. And if you're growing in Christ, not only should you sin less than what you did before, you should fall to less temptations, but you should also know better what to do when you do sin. And that's come clean about it before the Lord and admit to it and confess it. The more you grow in Christ, the more that should be just a common thing for you to do. So certainly being saved should our character should be somewhat better now that we're saved. And temptation is used to test that character. Now turn, if you would, over to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Temptation is used by God to test our character. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, look if you would at verse 2. It says, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Now remember, when they were in the wilderness, the Bible says they were tempted in the wilderness. Okay? To humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not. Now that's the reason why they went through the wilderness. Temptation has a way of bringing impurities to the surface. In other words, if there's something in our lives that we're weak in, temptation will bring that thing and show it real quick. You know, it's been well said that you'll never know what kind of Christian a person is until he's been put in hot water. You know, and that's true. I think it's different. I think that you're never going to know what kind of Christian you are until you actually hit your thumb with a hammer. Amen? Because that right there has a way of bringing impurities to the top, if anything does. Amen? And so, when things start to go wrong in our life, that's when temptations come, and that's when we see our true character. You know, like when there's snow on the ground, like this morning, and, you're laying there in bed, and the alarm goes off, and you look, and you see it's like 4 degrees outside. And you look outside, the roads are relatively clear. You could probably make it to church. But a person says, you know, I don't think I'm going to go today. The temptation is there not to go, amen? I mean, when it's 4 degrees out there, the temptation is don't walk outside that door. I tell you this, I'm thankful when I look at so many people this morning that didn't give in to that temptation. Because even your pastor had that temptation. Then I started thinking to myself, well, if I don't show up, who's going to preach? Amen. And so we've all been tempted. We've all been tempted. And you know, when things start to go wrong, We're tempted then. But, you know, the truth of the matter is that temptation is a test of your character. Temptation, not only that, it not only tests your character, but temptation will also build your character. Turn over, you would, over to Romans chapter 8. See, God uses temptation for a lot of things. He used it to test our character, to show us really what type of person that we really are, not what we think we are, but what the type of person that we really are. And I'll tell you this, if you're like me, every time you fall to temptation, you know what you say to yourself? I'm thankful for God's grace. And you know what? Every time I fall to temptation, I look in the mirror and I'm thinking, how in the world could the Lord love somebody like me? And I'm thankful for God's grace. But there, like I said, there are a lot of Christians today who start to think themselves to be really spiritual, but temptation have a way of straightening that out. But it'll also help build your character. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28 is a passage that we all know very well also. And it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. Now, you say, well, Pastor, are you trying to say that when temptations come, they come for our good? Well, what does it say there? It says, Romans 8, 28 says, and we know that all things. Now, does all mean all? All means all, the same way that everlasting means everlasting. You can't cherry pick and say, well, I don't think everlasting means here. Everlasting means forever here, but I think everlasting over here means not forever. You can't do that. There are people today that think that, when you go to that, that when you're saved, today we know that you have everlasting life. Amen? The moment you receive Jesus Christ, you have everlasting life. That means that it lasts forever. That's what everlasting life means. But there are some people today that don't think that everlasting means everlasting. They'll say, well, you have everlasting life, but you could lose your salvation. But yet those same people will tell you that if you go to hell, you'll be in there forever because it's everlasting torment. Isn't that a strange thing? Isn't it a strange thing how we like to cherry pick what everlasting means? Hey, listen, everlasting means it will last forever. So what does that mean? Well, when you got saved, you're going to be saved forever. Everlasting life. Okay? And that means when you go to heaven, you'll be there forever, everlasting. At the same time, it means if you die without Christ, you will be in hell forever, everlasting. Everlasting means everlasting. Eternal means eternal. And we need to understand that when we get a word in the Bible, we just can't choose it or choose to change it anytime we want to. Now here it says in Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. All things. You say, does that mean temptation? Yes, it does. It means that temptations can work to good for those that love God. Now, James 1:13 says this. It says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. So that means that God never tempts anybody, but he does allow you to be tempted, and it's for a good reason. What reason is that good reason? Romans 8:28, and we know all things work together for good. For good. Now, what good reason would there be for God to allow us to be tempted? We'll look at the very next verse. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Now stop right there. There are a lot of people today that'll tell you that for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. They'll say, well, that means right there that God chose those to go to heaven before the foundation of the world, and God chose those to go to hell before the foundation of the world, and therefore we have no choice in the matter. That's not what that verse says. Keep on reading it. You can't read part of it. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to what? To be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Temptation is a tool that shapes us into what God wants us to be. And all things work together for good to them that love God. And it's all a process to conform you to the image of Christ. That's what verse 28 and 29 is saying. All these things work to good. And what is that good? You being conformed to the image of Christ. That's the good. Now, let me ask you something. Just about the time that you think you've arrived and you think that you are in the image of Christ 100% perfectly, and you fall to temptation, what does that do? Shows that you still gotta be molded like the potter in the clay. There's still work to be done, amen? And so why does God allow us to be tempted? Well, because that's all a process to show us, number one, where we are, to show us that God has more work for us to do on us. And I'll tell you this, every time I look in the mirror, I'm thinking, Lord has a whole lot of work to do on me to make me in the image of Christ, because I'm a long ways from it. And I think if you were honest with yourself this morning, you'd say that you're probably pretty a long ways from it too. Amen? You know, when you read about Jesus and you read about the things he did and the things he said and the way he thought, I don't know how anybody in this room, I don't know how any Christian on this earth could ever think that they've arrived. I really don't. Why? Because he was sinless. And the way he thought, I mean, think about this. He had the mind of God. Temptation shows us how much work God has to do in order to conform us to the image of his Son. Now, Jesus was tempted in the wilderness 3 times, and as a result, he never sinned. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:15 that he was in all points tempted like as we were, yet without sin. So when we're tempted to sin, we're going to be at times, sometimes we're going to be victorious. Sometimes we're going to overcome that temptation. Sometimes we're going to get to victory. But there are going to be other times that we're going to fall to those temptations. And we're going to sin. But you know what those times that we follow those sins tell us? It tells us that God has a lot more work to do on us to make us more like Jesus. And while we're here on this earth, though we may grow in Christ and sin less and less, when we're tempted, we'll never get to the point on this side of eternity to where we're exactly like Jesus. The Bible tells you over in 1 John, it says that one of these days we shall be as he is. We shall see him and be as he is. But that's not on this side of eternity, folks. We're never going to reach absolute spiritual perfection on this side of eternity. But temptation does show us where we are spiritually, and it shows our character before God. And then we have a third reason why God allows us to go through temptation. And that is because God uses our sins to show us his grace and his power. Do you realize that if we never faced any adversity in our life, we would never, probably ever, call upon the Lord? You say, I don't believe that, Pastor. I would call upon the Lord even if I wasn't facing bad times. Really? That's not supported in Scripture. When did the nation of Israel get away from the Lord? Every single time. When things were going good. Amen. If you don't believe it, read the book of Judges. Read the book of Joshua. Just read the entire Old Testament. You'll pretty much get it. From Abraham forward. I mean, that's what you're going to see. I mean, every time that things went good, that's when they messed up. Things come apart when things were going good. But when things were going bad, that's when they had to cry out to God for mercy and grace. Every single time. In the book of Judges, things would start to go good. They'd start to worship false gods. God would bring them under judgment and put them under a wicked person. And then they would cry out to God, and God would raise up a judge, and that judge would lead them out and give them victory over it. And then all of a sudden, when things started going good again, then they started worshiping false gods, and the whole thing is just like this, all the way through the book of Judges. It's the same way in our lives too. I will guarantee you that you pray more when things are going bad in your life. You do. So do I. We all do. And it's not just the people in this room. Hey, there's a reason why after 9/11 that church attendance went up by 20%. But then when things started going good again, what happened to church attendance? Back down it went. Why? Because that's just the way we are. Aren't you thankful for God's grace? Do you realize every time that you are tempted and you fall? Now listen, when I say you fall, I don't mean you can lose your salvation, because the Bible makes it very clear we can't lose our salvation. We're not talking falling in that sense. But we are talking about when the temptation comes, rather than choosing to do it God's way, then what we do is we choose to do the other way. The next thing we know, we mess up and we fall into sin. That's what I'm talking about. But every time that we fall into sin, every time we give into that temptation and we sin, you know what the greatest thing about that is? It's not a great thing about us falling, not a great thing about us sinning. The great thing is God's grace. How many of you know that you serve a God that give second chances and third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances and on and on and on. You realize that God would have been justified, number one, if he'd have just taken you out before you ever got saved. But then think about how you've been and how I've been since we've been saved. And think about how much grace God would have to give us every day. I tell you this, every time I start to think about, you know, I start to take things for granted as far as God's grace, I start to think to myself, what if there were somebody that I knew that treated me like I treated the Lord every day? How would I be? And honestly, I don't think that person would be my friend anymore. Amen? But you know what? God gives grace. And that'll kind of show you about where you're at when it comes to your character. When you start to think about how much grace you give to everybody else compared to how much God gives you grace and me grace, that'll sure set things straight, make things a little clearer where we're at spiritually. Amen? And so God allows us to go through temptations. And he does it to show us his grace and his power. Turn, if you would, over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I think we lost the light. And it's the perfect place, too, because this was so well lit up over here. Perfect. Just perfect. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we know that Paul had a medical condition. He called it a thorn in the flesh. And he prayed that God would remove that thorn in the flesh. And when he prayed, this is the answer that he got. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Paul says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Now, this is talking about a physical ailment. I understand that. But may I tell you that we have infirmities that are not always physical. We are weak in the flesh. All of us are. And because of that, he says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Just think about that one sin that always seems to get you every time. Everybody in here has that one sin. The Bible calls it that besetting sin. That sin that just, it seems to always get you. It doesn't matter how hard you try to fight it. Doesn't matter how hard that you try to avoid it. It just seems like that is your weak spot. And so for some people, it's gossip. For some people, it's being truthful. For some people, it's jealousy. Everybody has a weak spot. Amen? And, you know, and maybe some that sin is an open sin. Maybe that sin's a private sin. Maybe it's pride or anxiety or fear or bitterness, whatever it is. But God wants to tear down that stronghold in your mind so that he might give you his grace and his power. No Christian wants to fall to temptation. No Christian is happy about being out of fellowship with the Lord. No Christian is pleased when they fall. I guarantee you, everybody in this room today that's saved, whenever you fall to temptation, whenever you sin, you are disgusted with yourself. And you wish it wasn't that way. But what we have to do as believers in order to stand better against temptation is we need to ask God for strength. The problem is this, folks. Whenever we're tempted, most of the time, when we're tempted, we try to handle that temptation in our strength. And it doesn't work out very well. That's the reason we fall so quick. But we are to ask the Lord for his strength to help us to make it through these temptations without falling. And so we need to ask God for strength to overcome those temptations, especially in our weak areas. Now, temptation itself is not a sin. A lot of people think it is, but it's not. You say, how can he prove that? Because the Lord was tempted, yet he sinned not. Amen? Well, that tells you right there that temptation itself is not the sin. The sin is what the result of the temptation is if you give in to that temptation. That's where the sin comes in. Okay? I had a lady tell me one time that when we were speaking about this subject, That she believed that we can have thoughts and have thoughts to do something that was sinful, and that's okay to have the thought to do something sinful, because she said you have to act on it before it becomes a sin. That's not what your Bible says. That's not what your Bible. Jesus said, if you look upon a woman with lust, that you've committed adultery in your mind. So listen, it's not you can sin before you ever actually do the action. You can sin the moment you want to do it, and you think about doing it, too late. You've already sinned, according to what the Bible says. Now, I'll tell you this. For those people who think that they've reached sinless perfection, that's a hard truth right there, isn't it? Amen. That the very thought that you have can be sinful. They can be sin. For a person today that thinks that you can keep the law and stay saved, and knowing that your thoughts can be sins? My question is this. How long were you saved then? If you could lose it, how long were you saved? Because the second you think about doing something evil, done. The second you thought you have a lustful thought, done. The second you have a covetous thought, done. I mean, I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say, everybody in this room, if you could lose your salvation, you would probably have lost it about 14 times since you got out of bed this morning. Amen? And here's the other kicker. That Bible says if you're guilty in one of the commandments, you're guilty of all of them. Whew. Boy, I tell you what, that makes it rough on a person to think that you could lose that thing. Aren't you thankful for God's grace? Aren't you thankful that God says, listen, I'll save you forever. That's grace. That's grace. John said in 1 John 3:15, he says, whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. That means in the eyes of God, if you hate your brother, you're just as guilty of murder as somebody who went out and killed somebody. It doesn't matter if you act upon those sins, but our temptation and our thoughts are two different things. If a person knows that if they look upon something, they'll be tempted, the temptation really is to look upon that thing. Amen? If you know that if you go into a place that you're going to be tempted, then don't go to that place. If you know that you're going to be tempted by looking at something, don't look at it. Be careful what you let those eyes see. Amen? Job says, I'll let no evil come before my eyes. Why? He knew it was a weak spot. And we all have those weak spots. And you say, well, how can I avoid it? Pray that God will give you strength to stay away from those areas. Stay away from those areas. You know, when I was young, my dad told me this. He says, you know, son, he goes, always remember that if people think that you're guilty, sometimes it's just as bad as being guilty. And he goes, make sure you stay away from situations that will make you look guilty. And one of the things he told me was, if you have a young lady that lives by herself, or it's just her and her kids, don't walk in that place by yourself. Why? Well, because even though nothing may happen, there are neighbors that see things. Amen? And not only that, but there's temptations there. Don't put yourself in a position to where you look guilty, and don't put yourself in a position to where you could give in to temptation. The problem is today there are so many people that think that they can handle it, that they will actually do something. They know that they're going to be tempted to doing it, and then when they fall, they're like, I don't know what ever happened. I don't know what came over me. Why did you put yourself in that position? You say, well, I can't avoid it. Not in your power you can't, but in the Lord's power you can. That's the reason we need to pray, Lord, give me strength to stay out of positions I know I'm going to be tempted in, stay out of areas I'm going to be tempted in, and Lord, give me your strength to help me make it through and to be able to handle temptation without falling. That's where we're to call and asking for His strength and His grace. That's if we'll do that, we'll be more victorious more of the time. The Bible says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and so we are to count on His strength and His grace to help us when we're tempted. We also need to ask God for strength to help us run away when we're tempted. To run away. You know, the Bible says that God has made a way of escape for every temptation. Now, here's here's the catch on that. Because God has made a way of escape for every temptation, whose fault is it if you fall to that temptation? It's ours. Why? Because God made a way of escape. You know, if there's a trap and I put a way of escape in there and the animal doesn't take that way of escape and he gets caught, it's because the animal's fault, not mine. Amen? I gave him a way out. Well, God gave us a way out too. So therefore, you can't blame God at all. If you fall to temptation, you can't say, well, you know, God made me do it, or the devil made me do it, or the world. Nobody made you do it. There was a way out. Problem is, we don't take that way out. You say, well, what are we supposed to do? Well, when God gives a way out of that temptation, we need to take that way out and run fast. Now, the greatest example of that in the Bible was Daniel. Joseph. You remember, I almost made that mistake again. Remember, Joseph, when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife, and that she was blinking her big eyebrows at him and everything, you know what he did? He took off running so much he left his own coat there. He was gone. And I'll tell you what, that Bible says, flee youthful lusts. In other words, get out. God has made a way out. You know what? God made a way out. It was called the front door with Joseph. And so when he was tempted, he ran. Didn't walk. The Bible specifically says he ran. He didn't walk. No, you know what we should do when we're tempted? Get out of there as fast as you possibly can. Here's what we do. We do what Joseph didn't do. We linger around. I'm being tempted by it. I can handle that. Yeah, that's what David thought when he was standing up there looking at Bathsheba. If David had done what Joseph done, you know what he'd have done? The second he saw what he saw, he'd be like, oh, and took off running. Hey, I got to go to war, where kings are supposed to be doing this time of the season. I need to go to battle. But he lingered around. How about Samson? When he was tempted, you know what he did? He lingered around. He'd have stuck around. The second Delilah says, hey, what is it that makes you so strong? And he should have said, well, why, honey? Well, because I have some Philistines back here behind the curtain that want to take you and poke your eyeballs out and make you a slave. He should have said, I'm out of here. But he didn't. He hung around. And what happened? You see? We need to take God's way out when we're tempted. If we will take God's way out, if we will run when temptation comes, if we will pray that God will give us strength in those weak areas that we know the strength to stay out of those things, I'm telling you, folks, you're going to be more victorious when the temptations come. The temptations will not stop. They will not stop. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. 1 John tells us that those are the three areas. Everything in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Now, we face each one of those every day, right? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. But not only that, but in our lives, based on our age, you'll notice that we are more prone to each one of those at different times in our life. For instance, the lust of the flesh was probably when you were younger, teenage, early 20s, 30s, lust of the flesh. But then the lust of the eyes. Once you get a job and you're making good money, all of a sudden you start to see that new car and that new house and those new things, and you start to say, well, I'd like to have some of that. That's the lust of the eyes. And then the pride of life. Whenever you get older, start to get towards those golden years that everybody loves so much, you start to look around and say, boy, look what all I did. Worked for it all my life. Yes, sirree. Who was it that gave you those things? It was the Lord who gave you those things. You can't sit there and say, worked hard all my life and I got me something there. Yes, sir. That's the pride of life. You see that. We face them every day, but we'll also face them all of our lives. We're going to face temptation every day for the rest of our lives. Now, I know that's bad news. But the good news is this. God gives you a way out. God allows you to have His strength and His grace. And you don't have to fall to temptation. You don't have to. And if you do fall to temptation, it is our fault and nobody else's. You can't blame anybody else. That's just a little bit on why we are tempted. God uses those temptations. He uses it. It's for our good, to show us where we're at, to show us how much more work that needs to be done on us, to show His grace and His strength, and to show us that we aren't as spiritual as we think we are. Amen? God uses temptation, and that's the reason we face it every day. All right, let's stop there.